The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution for the permanent ceasefire and release of hostages in Gaza. Israel hasn't yet commented publicly on the announcement. Hamas have welcomed the Security Council motion, and they have sent notes on the actual deal to mediators. However, doubts have been cast on their willingness to end the fighting, with the Wall Street Journal reporting this morning that the militant group leader, Yahya Sinwar, feels Hamas has the upper hand and that the deaths of Palestinian people is a necessary sacrifice. So as talks continue, so does the warfare with violence and raids occurring overnight. I'm joined now by former Minister for Information in the Palestinian Unity Government and a 2005 presidential candidate. He's the leader of the Palestinian National Initiative, Dr. Mustafa Barghouti. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
What is your reaction to, first of all, Israel speaking on behalf of Hamas and saying overnight that they believe Hamas has rejected the deal? Such is the nature of the notes attached on the margins of the deal.
That's absolutely incorrect. Israel is playing the same game of manipulation. Israel itself has not approved or accepted the United Nations Security Council resolution openly and clearly, as Hamas did. And they always try to put the burden on Hamas, while they themselves, Netanyahu's government itself, is not accepting the deal. Even the proposal that was made by President Biden, claiming that it is an Israeli proposal, was never confirmed by Netanyahu himself. As a matter of fact, the text that was given to mediators by Israel was quite different from what was given to Biden. So in my opinion, the main person who's obstructing the deal is Netanyahu, who knows very well that the end of the war means the end of his political career. And that's why he's so stubborn in blocking the deal. Hamas did not reject the deal. On the contrary, they accepted the UN Security Council resolution very clearly and openly. And they said we should negotiate about the details. And their comments are about the details, not about rejecting the proposal.
What Israel has said is that those comments on the detail are such that it amounts to a rejection. In other words, what Hamas wants in addition to what's on the table would be stuff that Israel could simply not accept. And therefore, it is a rejection.
It's not true. Hamas did not reject the deal. What Israel says is also incorrect. I'll explain to you. Hamas said that the agreement should include complete withdrawal of Israeli army from Gaza. That's exactly what the Security Council resolution says. That's exactly what President Biden said. At the end of the second stage of the agreement, the Israeli army would leave Gaza. That's what Hamas is reaffirming. So I don't see a contradiction between their comment and between what is included in the deal. But the reality is, the big question that should be asked to the Israelis is why they have not yet confirmed their acceptance of the United Nations Security Council resolution. Why they haven't yet declared clearly by the Israeli government that they approve what Biden proposed. And why some Israeli ministers like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich continue to say that Netanyahu did not show them the agreement that he had agreed with. In other words, this man is manipulating again, trying to put the burden of the rejection on others, while in reality, it is Israeli government, it is Netanyahu himself, who is trying to obstruct any possibility of a ceasefire. He wants this war to go forever because he doesn't want to go to jail because of the four cases of corruption that are waiting for him.
Why do you think the Secretary of State of the United States, Antony Blinken, is maintaining that Israel accepts the deal, when you believe that Israel does not, in fact? If Netanyahu is the one who's calling the shots and those right-wingers in his war cabinet are calling the shots?
Because Blinken has always been biased to Israel. And because Mr. Blinken is not being fair. And he doesn't even reflect Biden's policy, in my opinion. In my opinion, he's so biased to Israel that he's just repeating Israeli propaganda. And that is not suitable for a person who is the State Secretary of the United States. In my opinion, it harms the credibility of the United States and the credibility of President Biden's administration. The picture is very clear. And I know the propaganda on the side of Israel is quite powerful, but it cannot change the facts. The facts are clear. Palestinians accepted the deal. Israel, up till now, did not accept the deal.
Now, the other breaking news overnight was the revelations by the Wall Street Journal that the leader of Hamas in Gaza believes that Hamas is winning the war and that they have the Israelis on the run. Now, what it seems to be the interpretation that it's the public relations war, the global public relations war that Hamas is winning, because clearly they're not winning the military conflict.
Hamas is not winning any public relations thing. The Palestinian people are winning the public relations situation because of the level of atrocity that Israel is committing in Gaza. Because the world for the first time sees the reality of the act of genocide that Israel is conducting in Gaza, the reality of killing more than 15,700 Palestinian children in Gaza. The world is seeing the reality that Palestinians are oppressed, occupied, subjected to a system of apartheid, and now to an act of genocide, collective punishment, and ethnic cleansing. And that's why the world is moving in the direction of supporting the justice and the Palestinian rights. And the Wall Street Journal, I doubt very much of what they say, because I don't think any Wall Street Journal correspondent met with Sinwar. I think they rely on certain documents that they claim they got. I don't know from where.
Yeah. But the reality they claim they saw texts from Yahya Sinwar to others in the Hamas leadership maintaining that there's no point in capitulating now, since Israel is effectively on the run in global public opinion.
I have great doubts about what the Wall Street Journal says, but on the other hand, of course, no Palestinian wants to capitulate to occupation. What we want is a fair deal. What we want is to bring back peace. What we want is that for this war to stop. And what we want is that the world community should immediately start pressuring Israel to end occupation and end the system of ethnic cleansing and apartheid that has continued since 1948 for 76 years. Time has come to end this situation. And that cannot happen without forcing Israel to end its occupation.
Now, the question of the necessary sacrifice being made by the Palestinians, I mean, points were being made last night in international media that it's all very well for Yahya Sinwar, who's hiding in some safety in a tunnel somewhere in Gaza, to say, bring it on, make your sacrifice. Whereas the Palestinian people, as you know well, in Gaza have nowhere to hide. They don't have tunnels in which they can protect themselves. They are exposed to the might of the Israeli IDF.
I think this kind of propaganda is exactly repeating the Israeli effort to blame the victims. Is Sinwar responsible for sending Israeli airstrikes to Gaza? Is he responsible for killing 15,700 people, children? Is he responsible for killing 46,000 Palestinians all over Gaza? Is he responsible for the fact that Israel is killing us also in the West Bank? More than 512 people have been killed so far. Yesterday, they killed 12 people in the West Bank. I don't think that blaming the victim in this situation is acceptable, as much as you couldn't blame the Irish people for struggling for their rights.
The question really is the responsibility
that the British Army at the time was killing Irish people.
The question, I suppose, is whether or not an immediate release of the hostages would bring a halt to the hostilities and therefore save Palestinian lives. But if there's, you know, politics going on, allowing the killing by the Israelis to continue when handing over the hostages would allow it to stop.
No, there is no problem with that. Of course, all Israeli prisoners must be released, but within the context of a deal that guarantees that the war would stop. What Netanyahu says is hand over the prisoners to me and I must continue the war. That is the problem. What Palestinians want is the end of the war, the release of the Israeli prisoners, the release of Palestinian prisoners, the number of which, by the way, now is 14,500, who are subjected to continuous torture in Israeli prisons, which has led to the death and killing of 52 Palestinian prisoners so far. So what we want is exchange of prisoners, immediate stop of the war, and what Netanyahu says, no, give me back my prisoners, and I want to continue attacking you. This is unacceptable.
Now, that question of how this is going to end, I mean, it's been going on far too long already, and it is seen militarily as a very one-sided conflict, although the Israelis constantly tell us that the rockets are still being fired by Hamas into Israel, but Israel is protected by the Iron Dome. But how do you think it can be brought to an end if you believe, on the one hand, that Netanyahu will never agree to a cessation because it would mean his political demise, and on the other hand, Hamas is reluctant, without a very comprehensive agreement, to hand over hostages, which might bring the thing to a halt?
I think the road to peace is very clear. Immediate end of this war, complete and total ceasefire, immediate exchange of prisoners that would release the prisoners and make sure that they come back safe, and then withdrawal of Israeli army completely from Gaza, and the initiation of a true peace process that would lead to the end of the causes of this whole situation, which is the Israeli military occupation, and allow Palestinians to finally be free from occupation and have a state of their own, a state that is already recognized by 148 countries, including Ireland. That is the way out of this situation. And one has to remember that we had so many wars in this place. Why? Because Israel insisted to continue its occupation. A very interesting point here is, why did Gantz and Isinkot leave? Why did they leave the Israeli government? Why did they? And what did Gantz say? Gantz accused Netanyahu of blocking the deal. And this is coming from a person who is leading the largest party in Israel, and who was part of the Israeli government and left it because he understood that Netanyahu is playing political games for his own political interest to obstruct the possibility of a deal and end this terrible situation.
Now, last night outside the White House, there were protests visible, and some of the people who were bearing Palestinian flags were celebrating October the 7th. And Israel says the reason they want to get rid of Hamas forever is so there won't be a recurrence of October the 7th. Do you have any sense of understanding as to how the Israeli population feels about October the 7th? I mean, you've had your own equivalents, I know, of October the 7th over the years.
Look, October the 7th wasn't the beginning of this conflict. We've repeated that so many times. The beginning of this conflict was in 1948, when Israel displaced 70% of our people, making them refugees and not allowing them to come home since then. The beginning started in 1967, when Israel occupied West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem, and initiated the worst kind of apartheid against Palestinians, something that everybody admits, including Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and several UN organizations and structures. The situation is like that because we are continue to live under a system of oppression. And no, the White House demonstration didn't see them talking about 7th of October. I saw them carrying red flags saying that Biden crossed the red line when he allowed Israel to conduct the war on Rafah, in violation, by the way, of the resolution of the International Court of Justice. The big question here for the world and for your audience is, do we live according to international law, or it does not exist anymore? Is it the rule of jungle where a government like Israel, which has a mighty army, can continue to kill and slaughter civilians and children in this manner, not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank? Or there is something called international order and international law that has to be respected, and Israel should be obliged to respect this international law.
Now, America has always been seen as the broker in the Middle East to try and bring sides together with the Oslo Accords and so many initiatives by various American governments over the years. It doesn't seem to be working in this case. Is there a need for regional powers to step up and do something?
I think not only regional powers. What we need also is international powers. But what the United States has proven over the years, that it has failed to be an impartial mediator between Palestinians and Israelis. And since it is so biased to Israel, it cannot play that role. That's why we need a different kind of international framework that could help get us into real peace in this region, just peace. And I think United Nations institutions can play an important role here. Of course, if the Israel stop calling the international structures like United Nations as anti-Semitic, which is really crazy. I think what we need is some sort of independent structure that could help us move forward, but that could also force Israel to understand that it has to respect international law and international humanitarian law.
Finally, I should ask you, should Hamas be the government of Gaza after all this is over?
Hamas told us very clearly in a meeting we had in Moscow of all Palestinian groups that they don't want to be the government of Gaza and they don't want to be in the government of Gaza. But what we all say is that we need a government that has national consensus, and it should be interim government and prepare for free democratic elections, something we didn't have since 2006, and something we should have had in 2021, when we were just about to hold our parliamentary elections and Israel blocked them. What we need is democracy to prevail in Palestine, and what we need is that Palestinians have the right to choose their leaders, and that no other country in the world would be imposing on us who should lead us.
Would you not be fearful, therefore, if Hamas were not part of the government, that they would always be in the shadows, reserving the right to repeat October 7th?
No, I'm not worried. I know that if it is a national consensus government, and we had similar experiences before, they would cooperate with it. And eventually there will be elections. And all polls show very clearly that no single party in Palestine, whether Hamas or Fatah or us or anybody else, has the ability to get absolute majority, which is good, because it would mean the creation of a pluralistic democratic system that could unify West Bank and Gaza and help us get over all this terrible destruction that has happened to Gaza, where all universities were destroyed. Israel destroyed most hospitals, all clinics, most of the schools. We need a huge amount of energy to rebuild what Israel has destroyed.
Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, leader of the National Palestinian Initiative, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.